Our Father, we come to you again today on this special day, ending our stewardship month, Lord. We thank thee for every lesson that's been taught, for every word that's been said. And we come again today, this last day, and we pray something to be did in our hearts that hadn't been done so far, or if we knew what to do, we'd be activated to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take it and turn with me first to Jeremiah chapter 17. The first Sunday, our response to God was about temptation. I guarantee you that if there's one error that every last one of us has been tempted, it's in the error of getting the gospel out. Every time that you and I make plans to make an appointment to go soul winning, I guarantee you Satan will tempt you with something to stop you. It may be many things. It may be something you can control and sometimes you can't control. But to do everything to stop you. So we felt temptation was the fear we need to look at this month in stewardship as our response to God. By the way, God requires us to be responsive to Him. God requires us that we listen to what He has to say, not for the purpose of just listening, but to obey. And when we obey, that in turn makes us responsible to God. And it's a good response. Then the second Sunday, we looked at our response to God about grief. Because if you go soul winning and you get beyond the error of temptation, you're going to have some grief. It may be psychologically, emotional, physical. There's just so many ways you're going to find that somewhere along the line, you're going to get hurt, that Satan's going to see to it, because he knows he can't stop a child of God unless he hurts him. And grief is part of that. And yet, if we resist the temptation, then grief, we also know, comes in line. And then, of course, we come to this third Sunday, our response to God in giving. And I guarantee you, if you get the vision that God has given, that giving is the means He's used in the line of His Word, that the church can function. So what happens is, He knows if He can stop it by tempting you and causing you to grieve, you won't give. And if you don't give, He slowed the gospel down. He can't stop the gospel until Jesus comes and God sets it aside. But He will slow it down. And in turn this morning, our response to God about the gospel. About temptation, about grief, about giving, about the gospel. And all three of these first ones we looked at is to stop the gospel. If He can tempt you, He'll stop it. If He can cause you to be hurt, embarrassed, or whatever it is, He'll stop it. If He causes you not to give, it even slows it more down. And when I should use the word slow down, I guess, because Satan can't stop the gospel. Let me rephrase that. He can't stop it. He don't have the power to stop it. God's more powerful than he is. But God has ordained to use methods among His people that He might bless them. So this morning we want to talk a little bit about our response to God in the gospel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the first order of business, hear me, the first order of business for a Christian is to go forth with the gospel. That's what God has told us to do. Now, no matter how much we understand about the Bible, no matter how much we learn about what this book says, it does no one no good unless we tell them the gospel. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, no man can be saved. Somebody said, wait, preacher. Now, you know, there's a way you people get to God other than Jesus Christ. No, there's not. Jesus Christ is the only way. And the thing about it is, in our day, you've got so many ways, and we hear it so much other than Christ, we hope that one of the ways might be the way. Hey, it's not a hope so. It's a no so. Jesus Christ is the only way. So, ladies and gentlemen, the first order of business for the Christian is to go with the gospel. Now, the next thing, though, you need to understand, the first order of the business, the first order of business for the unsaved is to believe the gospel so they can be saved. The first order of business for the Christian is to take the gospel. The first order of business in this world for an unsaved person is to believe that gospel so that they can become a child of God. Okay? You say, you tell me that. But let me ask you, and I say this speaking on the behalf of an unsaved person, maybe. Most in here are saved. But on the behalf of the unsaved person, they could come back and say, okay, how do I know that the gospel is true? How do I know just because you said, preacher, and it's that the gospel is true. Well, that's what I want to look at it today. I want to let's approach it from God's viewpoint in His Word, a little different way of approaching it than maybe that we've had so far. And I want to look at what God has to say about us as human beings and that wonderful gospel, which is the door open us up into the kingdom of God. And so if you turn to Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 17, chapter 17, I'll get it right in a minute, verse 9 and 10. Here's what God says. Watch this now. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Isn't that interesting? The heart, your heart, my heart, God said. Hey, God says it's deceitful above all things. And He says, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Now, Romans 3, 10 and 12 backs this up. If you go to the New Testament, again, you know, 3:23 says it. That for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that do it, the first few verses, none that do it good, no, not one. They're all gone astray and such and such. That backs this up. God is telling humanity, no matter what you think, your righteousness is like filthy, putrefying rags in my nostrils. I want you to know why. Because since Adam fell in his sinful state before God, and the nature of Adam now is depraved, through procreation, in birth, natural birth, we receive a depraved nature. And that heart of that depraved nature is desperately wicked. And He says, it's deceitful above all things. Then He asks the question, who can know it? Amen. You and I can't, because we don't see nothing desperately wicked about the heart. We see wickedness about people at times, which we classify. Nowadays, we begin to make that so narrow, you don't see too many people doing wickedness. Years ago, wickedness will rob brain. Yeah, you can name them pretty quick. Now, it's so narrow, you don't see much of that. But then God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to every, given every man according to the ways, his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. God said, I try the heart. And He said, I want you to know, I try your reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. If you will, turn with me over to Ezekiel chapter 36. In Ezekiel chapter 36, and look down about verse 26. God says, now a new heart, He's talking about Israel here now, which in turn is to bring about the Lord Jesus Christ in the future, where the whole humanity would be brought under this umbrella. A new heart also would I give you, and a new spirit would I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll give you a new heart of flesh. And that's saying while we're in the flesh, God's going to give us this new heart. Not only is He going to do that, He says, I'll put my spirit within you. When you get the new heart, I'll give you my spirit, He says, and cause you to walk in my stature, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now God says, it'd be a sad thing if He said, listen, you got a wicked heart. You got a deceitful heart. And didn't do anything to help us, because He's already told us we can't do anything about it. So He says, now I'm going to give you a new heart to Israel. I'm going to put my spirit in you. And of course, we know when the day came that Jesus came, died, was buried, and rose again the third day, went back to be with the Father the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and now dwells within those who trust Christ as Savior, Jew and Gentile. If you look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, you'll find again that Jesus said, as He speaks to the church of the Laodicean, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, interesting. God said you got a wicked heart, deceitful heart. But I'll give you a new one. How are you going to get it? He says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man, not Israel now, if any man, notice, hear my voice. Now, it's one thing to listen, another thing to hear, isn't it? A lot of folks hear the gospel, but listen to the gospel, but they don't really hear it. Satan helps them put a wall between. But He said, hear my voice and open the door, I'll come unto him and will sup with him and he with me. In Matthew 11:28-30, you'll find that Jesus said, come unto me, all you laden, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So many words like that. And I want to go there and you can go later. I want you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23, though. Proverbs chapter 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, the last verse, and in this verse is found my title for the message this morning. Now keep in mind, God says, again, that the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? He said, I search the reins of the heart. I search that. And he says this, he tells us again, that God said, I'll give you a new heart. He says, he stands at the door. Jesus does and knock. They who open the door. How do you do that? He says, come unto me. How do I come? And here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, he said, my son, God has given warnings, instruction to Israel about some things in life. And he comes and he says, my son, give me thy heart and let thy eyes observe my ways. Give me thy heart. And that's what he's crying out in the gospel in our particular day. Now, one person said years ago, he said, I read Proverbs to keep my heart honest. I read the book of Acts to keep my heart on fire. And I read the book of Psalms to keep, to stay sweet and tender. And we need that. Because as arrogant we get as we live in this life, we need, again, the book of Psalms to keep us sweet. And again, as crooked as we live, we need Proverbs to keep us honest. And again, as cold and indifferent as we become, we need the book of Acts to keep us on fire for God. Those three books need to be read a lot in the Christian life because it's three arrows that helps us in this particular life. Now, I thought about this. Most of the time, as you look into the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, the creature, which is that which is made in God's image, humanity, he is coming to the Creator and saying to him, give me this, help me with this, Father, answer this prayer, I need this, I need that. And we're encouraged to come to God in prayer, and we should come to God in prayer. We have the access to the throne of grace to come boldly and make our petition to him. But I want you to know, here's a time that the great God of this universe doesn't say, you come to me, but he says, give me your heart. Isn't that interesting? Now listen, that says to me, with my peanut brain, that if God said, I have given you the power, if you would do it, to give me your heart, if I say no, he won't take it. All I got to do is say, God, I'm seeing something that you said. It's helping me to understand where I'm at. And dear God, I need your help. Here, the creator is come to the creature. And he says, give me your heart or thy heart. God delights to give us things. I look over and see in Psalms 37, these words that are written down in Psalm 37, verse 3. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. In Psalms 91, over in 91, down about verse 14, 15, I love these. Watch what he says. He said, because he has set his love upon me, God says. And that can mean you and I as much as anyone. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Why? Because he has set his love on me, God says. And you can put your name there. If Charles Ennis sets his love on God, then God has made a promise, son, I will deliver you. I will set you on high because you have known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. Praise his name for that. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life and will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's what God says about us. And then we see also in Jeremiah chapter 33 and down about verse 3, he says this, Jeremiah, look with me in 33, Verse 3. Call upon me, he says, and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm saying to you, God delights to give us something, especially when we manifest our love for Him. We see that in the Scriptures. But I'm not talking about that era of life this morning. I'm talking about, from God's standpoint, He is the one asking us to give Him something because of what He's done for you and I. Here the great giver becomes the receiver. Here the provider becomes the beggar. Here the satisfier becomes the seeker. Here the door is seeking the entrance. Here the living water is thirsty. The bread of life is hungry. The Prince of Peace fights to get us. Hey, He went to Calvary and died, Jesus said, that you and I might be saved. That was no picnic, folks. And I've said that 100 times in my ministry here. There's a fighting between the evil forces and the forces of God is holy. And Jesus Christ paid the sin debt that man could go free. And most people mock Him in what He's already done. What a sad state. Normally we come to God and say, Dear God, I know You know what I need. And I need this and I need that. And bless me, oh God, here. And give me this, Lord. And if I get this, boy, I could do something. And you know how we bargain with Him many times. And thank God we have access to the throne of grace. I can go to my Father and talk to Him better than I can talk to you. I can tell Him things I can't tell you. Because I know when He hears it, He hears with a compassionate heart. And I'd say many times in counseling, my wife do a lot of counseling here lately. Many different ways, not only daytime, but night and other times. And it amazes me how that, what confidence you have to realize that when there is a council session, it can't go no further. And I have no power to snap my fingers and make people do what I know they need to do. Oh, if God has the power up and He won't. Why? He makes us responsible in our actions and what we do as far as this life is concerned. Here God says, though, give me. Let me give you 3 points. Now let me ask you a question. We see what God says for us to do. For us to be made what He would have us be made, because He's the only one who can do it. And the gospel is that channel which by faith we receive, through the channel of faith, to become a child of God. But there's 3 things I want to ask you. God said, give me thy heart. Now, number one is this. Why would God want your heart? He's untold us it's wicked. It's desperately, He says, deceitful in all things. Desperately wicked. That's entirely opposite of who God is. Why would a holy, righteous, pure God want us with a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? But He does. He does. We're sinners not only by nature, but by choice and by practice. And even after we get saved, many times these errors fill in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, why would He want you and I to give us His heart, our heart? Let me say to you, may I remind you and remind myself as I have in the last few weeks on this. May I remind us that you and I are just creatures of dust, spots on eternity, on the little planet Earth, in the boondocks of God's heaven. May I remind us, we make our appearance, and then we're gone. And someone else fills our place, takes our jobs, fills our houses, fills the pulpit, fills the seats you're sitting in, uses this earth, gets our job, and we're gone. The Bible teaches us we're like a vapor, James said. For one moment here, and then we're gone. I'll tell you, the things that we look at most and seek for don't look so valuable when we look at life from God's viewpoint. Why would a divine, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of this universe be interested in us? You say, well, preacher, we're made in His image. Amen. But ladies and gentlemen, we also fail. Then why would He love it? Why would He do what He's done? Let me tell you why. God is love, the Bible says in 1 John. And God loves us. Love seeks after love. One who loves wants to be loved by another. God could have made a robot for him and program him and said, every time you get around me, you fall down and you love me and you do for me what he could. Hey, he could have made a robot.
That's right.
But he didn't. He made human beings. He gave us a will and a mind. In fact, that's part of his image. And the situation is now that we find ourselves being loved by God. Even when no one else who looked at us through the eyes that God looks and sees us like God sees us with a wicked heart wouldn't find anything much to love. As a matter of fact, we look at each other now and don't find a whole lot much to love. We like people, but people will cross you up in a minute. You don't believe me, you cross them up. People get mad at the drop of a hat and then drop the hat just to get mad. Amen? We live in an unusual world. We live in an unusual world. Love seeks after love. One who loves wants to be loved by another. God is love. And there's something about God that when a person out of a true heart comes back and loves God, it does something. I can't understand it because God has everything He needs. But there's something about this that God is doing. Well, hold it, preacher. Hey, I don't think God loves. I'm just a poor person who lives in a shack, have rats bigger than cats, and my parents don't love me, and no one cares. Let me assure you, God loves you. God cares for you. God loves the accused. We go to the courtroom of God, and we see, for our understanding in this, God is sitting on the judge's seat. Satan is the prosecuting attorney. And Jesus Christ is our advocate. He never lost a case. He never lost a case. What do you mean, preacher? I mean, we go to God's throne right now. And God's sitting on the throne. Satan comes and says, guilty, guilty. Look what you did. Look what you did. Look what you did. Wait a minute, I'm saved. Look what you did after you were saved. And you and I have to say, God, it's right, I'm guilty. And then Jesus, our advocate, steps up and he said, Father, that may be true, but I died for him. And they responded to me. And they are my children and they're your children. And I paid the price for them. Therefore, they are not guilty. And God says, go free, my child. That's what I'm telling you this morning from God's viewpoint. Makes a lot of sense what he's saying.
That's right.
If God is willing to do all this for you and I, he has a right to tell us what he's done and why we need to do what we need to do.
Yes.
You see, again, due to his love, he says, give me your heart. You say, but preacher, I still don't believe that God loves me. Okay, let's approach it another way. Why would he want you then if he didn't love you? What good reason would he have to take us if he didn't love us? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, he's too rich for you to make him any richer.
That's right.
He's too great to make it any greater. He's too good to make him any better. He's too strong to make him any stronger. He's too glorious to make him any more glorious. Fact, all of our goodness in this world, mustered up by the 7 billion people, cannot make him any better.
That's right.
All the strength of this world, the riches of this world, put in a pile by the whole planet, cannot make him any greater and cannot make him any richer. All the strength, the power, the arsenal cannot make him any stronger. All the wisdom cannot make him any wiser. All the knowledge cannot make God any smarter. All of our glory cannot make him more glorious. All of our greatness cannot make him any greater. All of our power cannot make him any more powerful. Let me ask you, why would he want you and me if not for his love? You can't come up with another reason. Another reason at all. God does not need anything from us unless he ordains it. Hey, he doesn't need us to take the gospel. But he ordained it. And therefore, because of that, it's our job to obey him. And his ordaining of that is by the fact that you will move by free will to do that. He does that, you see. Sometimes people say, you know, boy, if that person would get saved, God could really use that person. Boy, that person got the talent. Boy, if he'd get saved, boy, that person can really talk. If he could get saved, God could really use that person. I mean, someone money. Boy, if he could get that person saved, there'd be a lot of finances given to the house of God. It could be. But I want you to know, isn't it strange that God rarely ever uses people like that? You see what happens? God saves them and He trains His people from scratch. And then if He makes them wealthy like Abraham, like Brother Anderson here, you hear me talk about from time to time, then they give. I think this past week I saw where Brother Anderson, I may misquote, but I think over $35 million to missions and just missions alone in the last few years. I mean, just loves God so much. No matter how God much blesses him, he gives back. He said, you've heard me say many times, and I hope that maybe one of these days have him come and speak here. He's 78 years old now. He said many times he would miss have business transaction to go to, and it was a night of visitation of his church. He'd miss and lose hundreds of thousands of dollars, but he still served God. I bet nobody here would give $35 million to mission. Not talking what you give to the church. Not talking about what gives to his home church. I mean, listen. A person goes on. Isn't it strange that God rarely uses these type of people? He makes us what we are when we give Him our hearts and we give Him our lives. Now, He doesn't need our strength. He made the Niagara Falls. You ever been there? Somebody said, when once the water carved that out, you wonder why water carved that out? Because He directed it. Amen. Now, I don't go that far. You tell me how it could happen. And by the way, why ain't it dried up and quit running? I mean, why does it keep running? You know how many billions of gallons of water runs over that thing in a period of time? I don't. But there's a lot of but there's a lot of it, amen? There is a lot of it. I assure you that. I mean, God made Himself need us. That's what amazes me. He made Himself need us so we could see how much He loved us. And when I think about that, why would God want your heart? Number two, He does though, because He says, give me your heart. Give me thy heart. But someone say, preacher, I'm too busy now. What an insult to God. You think any busier than God is? Someone will say, you know, well, I'll just give it to somebody else. You're a fool. There's a lot of folks giving it to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, they're not going to be in heaven one day. You know why? You say, preacher, wait a minute, you don't do that. Wait a minute. God says the fool said in his heart there's no God. Well, I don't say there's no God, but you won't listen to the true God. And true God said Jesus Christ is the way you get to Him. Amen. The great God of this universe wants our heart. Why won't people give it to Him now? People do not believe God about their needs. Yes. I'm intelligent enough to know if I needed something like that, I'd accept it. I mean, after all, preacher, I trust the government. Oh, God. There's not a corporation in this world that is broke as the United States of America. I have you to know that. There's not a corporation in this world that's more in debt proportionally than we are. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this. The best financial minds of this world do not know how to get us out of the mess that we're in. Trillions of dollars in debt and going in debt $1 billion, they say, every day. Now, last few weeks, even more than that. What am I saying? Even millionaires are just one depression from being as poor as someone else on Skid Row. I say to you, I don't remember depression. I came at the end of the depression. I was a blessing at the end of the depression, sent by God and my family. Amen? I'm glad He let me come at the end. And bless my mother and dad in hard times. But I'll say to you, you can't save the government today. Because if you do, you'll come up the short end of the stick before it's over with. One day before long, ladies and gentlemen, God is going to really show us how He has taken care of us who love Him, serve Him, and live for Him. Even in hard times, we can't see the blessings of God. But when we get on the other side, and God lets us look back from where He brought us from, we're going to say, man, God, forgive me. I didn't know that happened was a blessing to me. Father, I didn't know that was a blessing. Father, I didn't know. Oh, my soul. Why couldn't I see that what I thought was the worst thing in the world was a blessing from God? He brought it out because He promised that to those who loved Him. I'll tell you this. Don't misunderstand what I'm fixing to say. But good old Uncle Sam's going to be buried one of these days. You know why? There's a King of Kings coming. He's going to be in charge. You say, I don't believe that. I know. That's the reason you're not saved. You don't believe anything God has to say. And I don't mean necessarily here. There'd be a hope for a few thousand people listening to my radio in a few minutes. That God can touch the heart. Because you have to start off believing God, what He says. And when if you get to the point to believe what He says, He will basically give us these things that we're talking about here today. Very, very fast life. God reveals Himself by His Spirit through His Word. Satan reveals Himself by television and the Internet. You cannot read God's Word 10 minutes a week and spend the rest of the time, 30 to 40 hours a week, on television and the network and know what God is saying. I can't do that. I have to spend time in this book. That's the only place I hear from Him. If I come tell you one day God met me at the foot of the bed and told me to rise up and do something, you lock me up because I'm dangerous. You say, can't God do that? Yes, but He won't do it. He's given me His book. Why should he come do something for me when I'm lazy and won't read His book? I have dreams all the time. I dream more here lately because I've been sick, I reckon, than other times. But the thing about it is, I think about dreams, but I don't depend on them. And I hope you don't either. I thank God for what we're seeing in our particular day. Notice how many times in the Scripture you go through, you see in the Bible, He says about, serve me. We're not talking about all your heart. Serve me all your heart. Follow me with all your heart. Love me with all your heart. Obey me with all your heart. Read my word with all your heart, He tells us. I mean this. I've been serving God soon be 50 years. I've been here 41 years. And I get all kinds of calls. I have calls now of people calling one of the, how in the world can God keep you in one place so long? I won't go into that. My wife and I, we talked to a lot of folks. I got three preachers coming to Tennessee this coming Thursday to talk to us about the college and some other things. And I may not be a great speaker. I may not be a great scholar. I may not have a lot of talent. But I can give Him my heart. And I can say, Lord, here am I. If You'll use me. If You'll use me, I'll give You my heart. I want to give You my life. Ecclesiastes 9:10 said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it all thy might. God wants our heart, even though there's nothing that He sees that attracts Him by it. He does it because He loves us. And I say to you, why would He want? He want our heart, seeing like it is, but He does. He tells us to give us our heart. And the third thing I want you to notice is this. Is that heavenly music? Amen. I had to stop then because everybody was trying to figure where that music was coming from. They thought all of a sudden I had something up here, didn't you? Using my talent somehow or another. God has a right. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a right to our heart. You are His creation through procreation from Adam. And if you've been saved, you've been purchased with a price. We are God's. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. God says, we have been bought with a price if we're saved. We are not our own. Someone say, well, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. It won't end up like you want it. Let me mark it down. You're going to have it. It's good days and pleasure of sin. But it will not end up like you want it unless your wanter is what God wants. And I'll tell you that. Within a short period of time, not one thing here will be yours or mine. Someone else will own it. Will have it. No one ever owns it. Whatever we do, whatever we are, whatever we have done that is good is due to Him. And I say to you, it is because we gave Him our heart. As He stood at the door and knocked, we welcomed Him in. And when we did that, God kept His promise. Yes. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No hope, if, and buts about it. It's positive language. Look it up in English. You really want to look it up? Look it in Johnson County English. It'll tell you something. I'm saying to you, it's positive language. And within a short time, things are gone here, but much is gained in glory. The problem of life can be solved. The problems, I should say, in the plural of life can be solved when we give Him our hearts. This is the best deal you ever make in your life. We never give anything to God. Hear me, and here's what's so wonderful. Look at the climax of what I'm fixing to say. We never give anything to God in any form or fashion that He does not give back to us better than it was when we gave it to Him. And that's what He said. I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. Will help you dominate this flesh. God is light pursuing the darkness in this world. And here's what's happening right now from God's viewpoint. God's holiness, His righteousness, His purity is seeking, pursuing humanity, that they may see themselves as God sees them. Not one doing good. No, not one. None seeking after God. They've all gone out of the way. Go read Romans 3. Become unprofitable. He sums it up in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So may I mention to you this? God's holiness and righteousness and purity and is seeking, pursuing humanity. Two things are going to happen. Soon it will capture your sin in Christ and you'll be saved. Or capture the sinner with his sin and cast into the lake of fire sometime in the future. The only difference between the two is the cross of Calvary where Jesus died and later was buried and then rose again the third day. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, God has a right to our hearts, yet He will not make it new without trusting Him. And go back again. The business of the day of the Christian is to get the gospel out. The business of the day for the unsaved is to receive that gospel. How can I know it's truth? I don't know any other way to present it from God's viewpoint than what I've shown you here this day. God has shown you and I what He's done, how much He loves us, and therefore, to respond to that, He leaves to us. I'm glad I did September 27, 1959. I'm sure you're glad you did on the day you did. You didn't say no. You may for a while, but you didn't say no. You trusted Him on that particular day. And on this last day of stewardship, may God Almighty help us to understand how important it is that we may go and do what He said in Jeremiah again, call unto Me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. A brother came by here just not long ago. And for this part of the world, this is not such spectacular. But I'll tell you, way more than I ever thought it would be. I never thought that God would give us a place like this, with this many acres of land, some 18, 19 acres of land, and do what we're doing with the college and now the radio and now reaching out. I often wondered why the invitation right now that I could literally be gone in the next 2 months about places where people are asking me to go. And right now I told a brother yesterday on the phone, I cannot fly. I can't sit long enough to fly. So maybe God saw something, I don't know. If I can't get where I could get in a plane and fly again, I wonder why. And the thing about it is this, maybe because my wife's been praying pretty hard that he wouldn't fly, she'd have to go with me. No, she wouldn't do that. Boy, I thank God for Barbara. You don't know what she and I have to go through it sometimes. But I'll tell you this. It may be that somewhere or another, God saw that I wouldn't be able to do my work as much here. I don't know. I need prayer along that line because of the health problems I have. But I'll tell you this. I believe right now, this hour, this is the message that God's given me, and this is where I need to be. Right here. On this last day of stewardship month. Please, if you're not saved, let someone sit down and give you the gospel. Talk from the scriptures, not about the scriptures. And these scriptures will reveal to you the Savior. Because from Genesis to Revelation, God's intent is to show how much He loved this world and how far He's willing to go to redeem them to Himself. And He's done everything possible that could be thought of to do, I believe. If not, God would do that, except make us trust Him. And He'll never do that. He'll never do that. My Father, I want to thank you again for the precious Word of God. Thank you for these people who give us their time today. Lord, I'm so grateful. Years ago, I had a wife that didn't try to hinder me when God was saying leave. She didn't understand it. And I'll be honest, I didn't understand a lot of things either. But I knew this burden was there. I'm glad there was no hindrance there. I'm glad she don't get in moody stays like some people get. I'm glad, Father, that there's a positive thought when we talk about things God wants us to do. And dear Father, now we come to a place, life will soon be short. Someone else, one of these days, we know not, someone else will be sitting in these pews, will be gone if the Lord don't come back for the church. And then, if He does, Lord, we don't care who has this place. But until that day comes, help us see Your vision. God, please help us see Your vision. Oh, God. God, guard this place. That the Word of God have free access. You give us the tools now to build on. Lord, the radio, the college, to train students. Dear God, even though it's a small scale, it's amazing what God can use with just small things. If there's one here this morning not saved, the Lord, even in the other churches going on this time, please, give someone the ability to make the gospel so simple and from God's viewpoint so the Holy Spirit can bless and use that to draw someone to the Lamb of God. Lord, we're finishing stewardship month. How many people this year would be their best for You to bring somebody under the sound of the gospel or take the gospel to somebody that they may come to know Jesus as their Savior? Please grant that. That's our desire. That's my desire. Lord, I go back and look at things years ago that You laid on my heart to do, and I drew out pictures and things of my mind so I could get in my mind out on paper what I could see in my mind. And Lord, we did our best to try to follow those procedures. Many people here have never seen them, but Lord, I'm still there. And we did our best to follow those procedures. Sometimes people understood it, sometimes people didn't. But I thank God we know that You've blessed it. Thank You for every person who stood and taught a Sunday school lesson this morning to every age. Thank You for those in the junior era today that are trying to break the Word of God down for the small bus kids. Thank You for a soul that may trust Christ today on these premises or by way of radio. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.